Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. Great to be with you here tonight. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Stanley Cup, 6-1. Panthers over the Oilers. So they've got a 2-1 lead. Talking some NBA Finals as the Thunder tie things up. Game 3 is on Wednesday. And kicking around some NFL-related topics, as is customary on the show. My guy Stanley in Chicago just called in with a conundrum. He's got a neighbor who's moved in and is a Packer fan, and he wanted to know what to get this person for a housewarming gift, like something Bears-related, and have some fun with the rivalry. And I said, just get him like a case of beer. You don't have to think about the Bears-Packers rivalry all 24/7, 365. And I think I broke his brain. Or his heart, or his spirit. Or all three. So you can watch Ralph Wiggum get his heart broken in real time on the Odyssey Rewind feature. That's what I feel like I did. He chose me, and I hurt him.
Well done.
I feel bad. But there's more people that want to talk, and this is a show that takes calls. So let me continue to do that. Bob is in Wisconsin. Bob, what's up?
Hey, Bart. Bobby. I'm just wondering. I mean, I'm a big Packer fan from way back. I went through the 70s and 80s, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's serious.
The thing is now, when the 70s and 80s, I turned into a big Pittsburgh fan.
Oh.
Now Rodgers is over there at Pittsburgh. When they play Chicago, I want to ask you, who are you going to root for?
Oh.
Well, I mean, because you're a Packer fan also, and you've been through it. Yep. And now when... Are you going to root for Pittsburgh, or are you going to root for the Bears? Just to say, okay, Aaron, you don't own the Central no more.
Well, that game, Steelers at the Bears, looks like an early start unless it gets flexed, which it may. We'll see what the week looks like. That's November 23rd. I mean, it's probably,
care.
You know,
I don't really care what the odds are. I don't care what the odds are. I'm just asking.
Oh, we don't know
who
that
you're going to root for.
I'm going to root for the Steelers.
No. Are you? I mean,
well,
the
Steelers are. I gotta look out for number one. I gotta look out for the Packers, and they're not the AFC, NFC, NFC North. I gotta. Now, if the Bears are like 2-8, well, then I'll root for the Bears.
Well, but even still, but whatever. Yeah,
well, I just told you they
play. Like when they go into the Jets and play them the first game, you know that's going to be a testy game.
Well, yeah, that I'm rooting for the Jets.
Well, I'm not. I hope the Steelers pounce on them. Really, I don't know. I can't root for.
You want me to root for the Bears over the Steelers?
I just do because, you know, Aaron Rodgers was pretty arrogant there. Oh, I own you, I own you, I own you. Did he or did it wasn't because of a Packer team that owned him? Then he comes back here and gets beat. And it's like, oh, it wasn't just me.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had pretty good success against the Bears, I think. I think if anyone's ever
one of the greatest quarterbacks ever,
saying I own you, it's him to the Bears.
Yep, I know. It's a tough one, but I don't know. Hey, great talk, man. I'll see you.
Oh, okay. All right. Bob's in Wisconsin. I think I confused him too. What are we doing, guys? Jeff's in New Orleans. Jeff.
Hi, Bart. Hadn't spoken to you in a while, buddy. How's everything been way up north anyway?
We're doing good. How are you, Jeff?
Things are starting to settle down, my friend. I'm starting to get used to a new life. And I'm just returning home to my hometown after being away for 24 years. So it's like a different city, man. It's take a little used to, but I'm gonna take the rest of the year off before I decide what I'm gonna do next.
Oh, so,
things are settling down a little bit, so that's a good thing. But anyway, tired of traveling and all that kind of stuff. I got to do something a little bit closer to home. But anyway, has Robert in Annapolis called in yet?
I've not talked to Robert tonight, no.
Good. I haven't missed anything because I'm tuning in late. But I just wanted to ask you, I want to get to a question, but, I've been listening pretty regular on a daily basis, and a couple of people I hadn't heard from that I kind of like to hear from. You know, like, have you heard from Todd in Tampa or Johnny in Atlanta lately?
I think Todd called a couple of weeks ago. Johnny, I think I talked to Johnny Friday late on Friday, yeah.
Okay. I might have missed them then. But, I enjoyed the calls, you know. But part of the reason I'm calling in, I wanted to get your opinion on something. I heard on the radio earlier today, and I kind of believe this, that the New Orleans Saints quarterback room, with those three guys they had, you know who they are, is worst quarterback a football team has had in NFL history. That's pretty sad.
Okay, I gotta look it up, but they're certainly in contention. Now, we haven't seen what Tyler Shuck looks like in the NFL yet, so I want to be fair to him, okay? But yes, Spencer Rattler had an opportunity last year and didn't look great. Jake Haener looked even worse. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly the worst in the league right now.
Yeah, I guess that's what we have to look forward to. So I'm going to probably adopt a secondary team, maybe the Bengals or something, or maybe the Packers. But
I think part of it, Jeff, is you got to, like, your team's not going to be good always. So you got to ride through the tough times, because then it makes the good times more enjoyable.
I agree with that. I'll never turn my back on them. I mean, I've been following. I've been away. I've been out of the country for the last 24 years, and I've still tried to follow them. So no, I'm still going to follow them, but I'm also going to look at, you know, enjoy some other teams as well. That's all I had, Bart. I hope you have a good evening, sir.
You too. That's Jeff in New Orleans. I've got more questions for Jeff about his life that maybe we'll get to another time. I didn't want to pry, and I didn't know how long, you know, and also sports. As far as other quarterback rooms that were terrible, I can give you a couple here, thanks to my good friend AI that I just asked. The 2019 Pittsburgh Steelers, when Big Ben got hurt, it was Mason Rudolph, Devlin Duck Hodges, and Josh Dobbs. They were pretty bad. The 2000 Cleveland Browns saw Tim Couch, Doug Peterson, and Spurgeon win. Oh, this one's bad. The 2012 Cardinals had John Skelton, Kevin Cobb, remember him? Ryan Lindley and Brian Hoyer.
Ugh.
The 2017 Buffalo Bills had Tyrod Taylor and then Nathan Peterman and Joe Webb. Remember when they benched Taylor for Nathan Peterman, even though they were in a playoff race?
Yeah, and that didn't he go so on to, like, throw, like, five interceptions?
Yeah, he was terrible. Yeah, Peterman threw five interceptions in the first half against the Chargers. They lost 54-24. And do you know the other team that got listed here? The 2024 New York Giants.
Good.
With Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, you didn't need to be a rocket scientist to see that one coming.
What's the deal with DeVito? Why is he still there? Why is he still in the
league?
He's
cheap.
Because he's bad. He's bad. They're just going to practice squad this guy?
Oh,
is
definitely.
He just because Long Island will come out to...
Well, Jersey, first of all.
Yeah, Jersey and sign autograph sessions?
Pretty much.
Is he like one of these guys where it's like, hey, we need somebody to go out to this charity event 2 hours away.
He's good for that local guy. They like him.
Tommy, you want to make a quick $1,000? You know his agent's all over that dork.
Oh, yeah. He's so obnoxious.
God, that was the worst. What's his stupid name?
Sean something.
Stupid. Racing's in Oregon. Racing.
Hey, Bert.
What's up?
I was wanting to talk about how I think the NBA Finals are going to go, like the rest of the way.
Yeah, what do you got?
So I've been writing all this prediction like ever since like this teams were announced, and I feel like the Pacers are going to win this series in six, and Halliburton's just going to get better as the series goes, and like Siakam and Turner and everybody they got there. And Indiana is a tough place to play, so that could really help them too.
Yeah, I think game three is going to be very telling how this series is going to go. You know that crowd's going to be wild. The fact that the Pacers got the split is huge. It is an old cliche, but it's very true that the bench guys play better at home, and I don't think there's really any good example of that as the Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I want to talk about that you were, like, bringing up is, like, even if the team, like, sucks, you should still be, like, a fan of them. Because, I mean, there's a lot of Cleveland Browns fans out there still. I don't know how, but, got us with. So, yeah, that's all I'll talk about tonight.
Well, Rayson, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. Yeah, I feel bad for Browns fans today. Their guy, Nick Chubb. They just want Nick Chubb back. They love Nick Chubb. And now he's a Houston Texan. But at least he went out of the division. Pittsburgh, a team, they could use a running back. They could have signed Nick Chubb. And there were other teams, I guess, that had offers that might have been more lucrative. But Chubb wanted to go to a contender, which the Texans, by definition, are with that division. Chris is in Maryland. What's up, Chris?
Hey there, how you doing, buddy? I guess my question would be this way, this has bothered me. I root for my area, my teams, like Washington, and I'll even root for the Baltimore Orioles, Washington Nationals. But you can't root for the Indiana Pacers. Or do you find that? But I find in college I'm a little more lenient. You know, I generally root for my area first. Well, actually, players first. I root for players first.
Okay.
But when your conflict when it comes to some team in your division, like, could you, were you rooting for the Detroit Lions to beat the Commanders? Or you can't root for the Pacers?
I did not root for the Lions to beat the Commanders. I did root for the Lions to beat the 49ers because I don't like them more.
But do you,
I don't
do you,
like the Lions.
So how do you manage that conflict of like the, in college, I can tend to be a little more lenient, like a root for the Big Ten or the Big East. But in the pros, it's very hard to root for one of like the Eagles. With being a Commander fan, how do you manage that conflict? And with the Pacers, I guess, because I kind of, just curious about that and how you manage that as you go. But I'm more players. I don't know. That was all. And, like Cubs, White Sox. You got to, you know.
Yeah, I can answer that. I can answer that, Chris. I'll answer.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks for the call. First of all, there's no conflict for me. I don't like the Pacers. So there's no conflict there. I'm not rooting for them. With all due respect, I think that's fair. I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just not rooting for them. I generally do not root for teams in the division of the team that I root for, regardless. I also have a rule that if your team beats my team, I want to see you suffer the same fate that you did to my team. Some people will say, I want to be able to say that we lost to the champs. I've never gotten that. I have never gotten that. I've never understood that. Maybe if you were a player, you know, maybe if you were a player and you lost and you thought, how good were we really? But then the team that won, they beat you and you're like, okay, we at least lost to the team that won it. I could understand that. As a fan, what does that do for me as a fan? As a fan, a team that took away my joy, then their fans get to have that joy? I don't like that. For college, it did used to be when I grew up, I thought, yeah, you root for the teams in your conference because there's conference pride. Now, conferences have since, like, you know, now we're down to power five and then four and then essentially two. So, yeah, in bowl games back in 1990, as a Wisconsin Badger fan, I would be rooting for Ohio State or Michigan State, you know? I don't know when that turned, but it definitely did turn. It definitely got to a point where, like, why am I rooting for these? I don't like them. I don't like them all season. I don't care about Big Ten pride. It doesn't do anything for me. I'd rather see them lose. So I don't root for anybody that I don't. Here's how I'll say it simply. I don't root for anybody that I don't root for. That I think makes sense in my head. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The New York Knicks, still without a coach, America's hottest story. They are putting out overtures, and they haven't been denied yet. And we might see some movement here soon. We'll get into that in just a couple minutes. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Thunder played like the Thunder again in Game 2 of the NBA Finals. They've lost a few times, but they have not lost consecutive games this postseason. And they now have wins of 32, 43, and 16 with their win the other night in games after defeats. That proves somewhat of a championship medal. The MVP of the league, SGA, 34 points in this game. He's now scored 30 or more points in 11 playoff games this year. He has scored 72 points through his first two finals games that he's ever played, which is a record by one. The previous record holder was Allen Iverson. The NBA Finals, do we get a rating story on this yet? I'm sorry, I have not seen if we had an NBA Finals rating story. Let me just type in, I'm sorry, Game 2 ratings. You know, this is very important. 8.9 million watched Game 1. This was on a Sunday. I don't know what the ratings are yet. It's so important, though. We got to find them out. Otherwise, how are we ever going to live? Game 2 ratings should probably be better, though, as this was a series that I don't think people were super charged up about. And I'm not blaming the teams. I will not blame the teams. I am blaming the NBA for producing an environment where you can have an Indiana playing Oklahoma City and small market has to come up at all. Even if it's people saying, the small market doesn't matter. This is a good series. You know, like me. I still said it. I still said it. You wouldn't say it in the NFL. Even Adam Silver said, if it's Green Bay versus Pittsburgh, yeah, so do something about it. Do something about it. Now, them getting a lot of their games on NBC, I think, will help because NBC seems to be really eager to bring back whatever 90s nostalgia we have about this league to bring it back. But I think they're going to treat it respectfully. You know, TNT is a great partner. They've been a partner for 40 years. And Inside the NBA is a great show. And it's still going to exist now on ESPN. But there's a lot of them ripping on the league or players or, you know, there's a lot of any person who's ever played in the NBA, they come now and trash the NBA. I don't think you get that in any other sport. There's some level of jealousy. Like they didn't, I don't know, they're resting off of our laurels or they're making more money or like even in baseball. Baseball players today are making so much more than 80s, 90s, even, you know, 2000s, but there seems to be a connection. Like former baseball players, former hockey players, former football players, they seem to want to be connected in a way to the current game. And in the NBA, it's a lot of the opposite. And ESPN is a rights holder too. And a lot of their NBA programming throughout the day is just get this guy out of small market. Or ripping on cities that aren't New York, LA, or Miami. Now, can Adam Silver tell Stephen A. Smith not to bitch about going to Milwaukee? Can Adam Silver tell the crew at Get Up not to, you know, try to get all these superstars out of New Orleans or Memphis or wherever? Probably not, but you don't see that in the NFL. You don't see the NFL Network crew breaking down, how do we get Patrick Mahomes out of Kansas City? That sentence sounds so stupid. Could you imagine turning on any programming and they're like, Patrick Mahomes needs to get to New York if he's ever going to have the career that he's going to have? Like, what does that even mean? How does that even matter? Well, he needs to go to Miami. Why? For what? It doesn't make any sense. But yet in basketball, for some reason, it makes sense because they've been drilling that in our heads that small market matters in some way and big market better. I don't get it. It's a problem. And that's why a series like this doesn't feel like it has that aura because they're so reliant on Steph or LeBron being here. Because that's how the NBA's been since David Stern. And I don't think Adam Silver's done a lot to change it. He's still relying on the big stars and the big teams. Now you have two teams that played well all season, the two best teams since January 1st, and people are just learning about them for the first time now. And then if they turn on the game, the product looks like it does back in March. ABC tried to superimpose little awkwardly bent Larry O'Brien trophies on the court, so they at least heard your cries, but it looked somehow even stupider. Just you watch this game, it doesn't have the big game feel. And that's because the finals don't have the big game feel because the league hasn't done a good enough job making this feel separate. You look at the NBA Cup, he put a lot of resources, Silver did, into that. Courts are different. Jerseys are different. I mean, they're ugly, but they're different. You turn it on and you know you're watching something different. You turn on this game in June, it looks like a game in March. And I think it's a big problem. One basketball note that people are talking about tonight. DeMarcus Cousins, I don't know if you saw this, was throwing hands at a fan that was sitting courtside. Now, DeMarcus Cousins is still playing in Puerto Rico. I go to our Puerto Rico basketball expert, Carlos Ortiz. I hope you'd take no offense to that.
I mean, as the only Puerto Rican here, it would make sense.
What do you know about Baloncesto Superior Nacional?
I know it exists.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
Thank you. There are six. Puerto Rico has its own pro basketball team, and there's 12 teams?
Yeah, and now I probably could name you the cities that have it.
Okay.
Santurce has a team.
I was going to say Santurce.
Well, you'd be wrong. And are they the Crabs? No, not a baseball. Ponce has a team.
Oh, that I would have said Ponce.
Well, Ponce has a team, yes. I think they're the Ponce Lions, too. Well, that also might be
Leones de Ponce.
Yeah. Yeah, that, all right. Say. So there we go. Carolina has a team. Or Carolina in your tongue.
No.
No? Really? Oh, this league is fraudulent.
Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, jeez. Don't ever question my knowledge. Does Bayamón have a team? Bayamón.
Yeah, Vaqueros de Bayamón.
Okay. Now here's where it starts to get dicey. Now I'm not 100% sure. Those are the big ones.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins plays in...
Just swing for it.
No, I don't want to.
Just swing for it. Come on. We're all friends here. This is a safe space.
Hold on. We're going to do it the right way.
Guaynabo.
That one.
Yeah, Guaynabo.
Guaynabo.
You got it. Like, why are you so like fidgety? Told you this is a safe space.
That was me.
In a female voice.
Guaynabo.
Thank you.
Yeah, Guaynabo. I actually would not have got them as a team. And I feel really ashamed of myself because
Well, that's where DeMarcus Cousins played. He was slapping a fan in the stands and then he got booted. And he gave middle fingers on the way out. Boogie's only like 34 or something, isn't he? 34. Wow, look at me. Pretty smart. The other basketball note of interest is there's been reporting that, well, we knew that the Knicks were interested in Jason Kidd. We heard that reporting. Now there's more reporting that Jason Kidd may be interested in the Knicks. I go to our New York Knicks expert on the show, Marco Belletti. Marco, hello.
Hello, Bart.
What's going on here?
Connecting the dots, the fact that they haven't asked for formal permission yet makes me think that there's still a lot of side talk on what the compensation would be. But the idea that Kidd is interested, and he did have a good relationship with the Knicks that one year that he played there, I think there's a lot of smoke here because I think there's a lot of fire.
Yeah, Jason Kidd back in 2012-13 started 48 games for the New York Knicks.
And he was actually that team that won 54 games. They were a 2-seed, lost to the Pacers in the conference semis. They, while the season was going on, that was the Carmelo Anthony and Tyson Chandler won Defensive Player of the Year. Everybody to a man, including Mike Woodson, who was the coach at the time, Jason Kidd, they felt was the glue that kept everything together. And the Knicks were actually disappointed that he retired and took the Nets head coaching job instead of coming back the next year. Everybody gave him credit for being like the coach on the floor, being the leader on a team that had a bunch of leaders. So, you know, he made a strong impression in his one year in New York.
I thought he was bad in Brooklyn. He had a winning record, but I thought he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Although I do love when he knocked the water over. That was actually brilliant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought in Milwaukee it was bad. I did not like it here. I thought my thing at the time was Jason Kidd would be an absolutely phenomenal coach if he could coach a team of Jason Kidd's. I think he mm-hmm. thought everybody has to have the same mentality as him. But I have been somewhat impressed with his turnaround and his efforts in Dallas. I think he could do worse than Jason Kidd at this point in his career. But was it worth the change? Would Tom Thibodeau to Jason Kidd, is that an upgrade?
Look, in my mind, no. I think the Knicks made a mistake in getting rid of Tibbs. But if you look at the other names that are being bandied about, I got to be fair. Jason Kidd's probably the one that I'm the most comfortable with. I have no interest in Mike Brown. I have no interest in Luke Walton. I have a lot of people who are like, oh, with the Jay Wright thing. None of that was never going to happen, but I had no interest in doing that anyway. I don't want a coach that wants a payday who really wants to be retired, because that's all he's been saying for the last however many years since he left Villanova. Like, that's never going to work out.
You don't want someone whose heart is half into it, half, like Doc Rivers.
Half. At least Doc has got half an ass in. Jay Wright is like, look, man, I don't want to do this. You back up the truck where it's like, I guess I have to, but I really don't want to be there. So hopefully I got a good enough assistant that maybe I could just stand around. Like, he doesn't want to do this. So that's good that that's not going to happen. There's not a lot of candidates. And then the Johnny Bryant stuff, which is the assistant that the Knicks used to have, was with the Cavs this year. A hot name, a commodity, a guy that was supposed to be a finalist for the Suns job and didn't get it. I personally am a little leery of giving a first-time head coach this job, coming off 25 years, making the first Eastern Conference final. Like, this is championship or bust now, and you're going to walk in with a first-year head coach? To me, it spells danger and it spells disaster. I don't want to do that. So I don't think the Knicks are dumb enough to do that, so it makes me think that Kidd is probably the best by far of what's out there. But the best is really Tibbs.
I would rehire Tibbs. but then, yeah, I'd probably, like, and I, look, I did not like Jason Kidd in Milwaukee. I wanted him fired every day.
See, I was going to ask you that because, I mean, you have a lot more intimate knowledge of Jason Kidd. Look, I remember the years in Brooklyn, or two years of Brooklyn.
I don't think the Jason Kidd in Dallas is...
He's not
that similar to the Jason Kidd in Milwaukee.
I was going to say he's nowhere near the Jason Kidd that he was with the Nets. That was a disaster, and that was still like a coach. That was still a player that was trying to be a coach. Then it was a coach trying to, you know what I mean? Like, he was too close. He wasn't far enough removed. I feel like the guy in Dallas has been different, but I didn't know if he was that much different than the guy who was in Milwaukee.
I feel like he's actually maybe even, I would even maybe call him a good coach now.
Well, here's my question, because I know he's close to Giannis. Can we connect the dots there, my friend?
Nope. Nope.
No?
Nope.
No?
He's staying.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
I don't know. I think the Knicks can make a decent package if Giannis comes and says, I want to be with my guy Kidd.
No, he's Giannis. Nah, he wants to be close to me.
You sure?
No.
Did the two hang at the pool? Did Jason Kidd hang out at the pool when he was there?
No, but I text Jason Kidd once. I had his number. No, I didn't text him. I had his number from the radio, so I gave it to my brother. We were out one night watching the NBA Finals, and this is like breaking all the rules of media.
Mm.
But I said, text Jason Kidd about something. And then he sent, how do you beat the Warriors? Because this was a Warriors-Cavs final. And Jason Kidd goes, who is this? And then immediately the three dots pop up again, and he goes, you have to believe you can beat them first.
That's good coaching right there.
Yeah. He said, you know what? I could try to figure out who this is, or instead I could give them the answer that they seek. And maybe since then I've always changed my tune on Jason Kidd. So good luck with the hire.
You know what? Now I want him even more.
Yeah.
Now I want Jason Kidd. Forget Tibbs. Yeah. Forget about it. I want Jason Kidd now.
Yeah. I don't have his number anymore.
No?
I'm pretty sure he changed it.
Let him know.
He probably changes it after that text.
Yeah. Well, this is the last text I send from this phone. 888-710-4476 is our number. Right now, here's an update with Marco Belletti. It is the Bar Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Interesting graphic that was published by Brooksgate today, and I'm going to take it at its word. It is one stat that every MLB team leads the league in. So even though there are teams that are bad and teams that are good, everybody can claim, coming into today's action, that they lead the league in at least one category. At least one category. Would you like to wager a guess, Carlos, what the Cubs lead the league in? Any category.
Ooh.
You might have to get creative. Some of these are creative. I'll give you an example. The Royals lead the league in best batting average with two strikes.
Very nice. I'm going to say the Cubs lead. Well, it's not run differential. They might have the best. You know what? I'm going to say the best run differential.
The Cubs lead the league in the highest first pitch strike percentage.
Wow.
So 66.5. So they get a strike on 2/3 of their first pitches. Does that seem right?
Sure.
You taking a lot of first pitch strikes?
Yeah, I like it.
Nobody walking on Craiger's team?
If that's what the stat says.
Yeah. What are some of the more fun ones here? Because, like, the Giants have best bullpen ERA. The Rangers have fewest base runners allowed. Okay? So some of these are fun. My Brewers have the fastest team by average sprint speed. So they're fast. The Brewers are fast. I like that. The Detroit Tigers have the fewest blown leads. Pretty good. The Reds have the most pitches thrown over 100 miles per hour. What about some of the bad teams? Like, what are these teams that are bad? What could they possibly be good at? The Pittsburgh Pirates have the best record on Wednesdays. They're 9-1. You know why that probably is? Because it's probably getaway day for the team after they took 2 or 3.
That's
already.
Right.
And so the Pirates then scoop up that third one with the Sunday lineup. The White Sox have the fewest sacrifice bunts allowed. So nobody is sack bunting on the Chicago White Sox. Somehow the Rockies lead the league. This is a Coors Field. Most triples with 19. Leading the lead with most triples. The Washington Nationals have the most games won as the betting underdog with 27. The Marlins have the most home runs by rookies with 18. And the Baltimore Orioles have the heaviest team by average weight at 219 pounds.
I don't know if you want that distinction.
Heaviest team by average weight.
Maybe that's why they're so bad, because they're all fat.
There was one year the Brewers, they traded for Jonathan Scope, who was the worst Brewer of all time. I hated that trade so much. And then they had Mike Moustakas, and they would play... They would play Moustakas at second and Scope at short. And then their third baseman was a big dude. Like, their average infield was like 230. And they called it the offensive line infield. But it was insane. Just these big dudes running around on the dirt. They didn't do much that year. I think they made the playoffs and probably lost like they always do. The Red Sox lead the league in most hard-hit balls with 808. I bet you wouldn't know that one. The Mets. How about the Mets? Best team ERA with the Mets. How's Juan Soto Gate going over there? People still worried about him?
Juan Soto Gate is a non-story. Everyone thinks he's happy
over?
Now. Yep, it's over.
What changed?
Him looking happy, you know, you remember that water bottle toss that people were doing a couple years ago? That was the big trend, trying to get the water bottle to land upright after flipping it. Well, he did that in the dugout. So now everybody thinks that he's having fun with the Mets again and all is well, which it better be because he's there for like 1,000 years.
So Juan Soto was like the baseball version of someone telling someone they'd be prettier if they smiled more? Is that essentially what happened?
Yes.
Okay. That's weird. That's a dumb story, but
a mild form of harassment even.
I'm glad it's over. How'd your Cubbies do tonight?
Lost. A walk-off action. Brandon Marsh hit a walk-off of Daniel Palencia to give the Phillies a 4-3 win. What are you going to do with extra innings? You got 9 innings to get it done. I'm not mad about a walk-off loss.
Well, the Phillies fans, I hope this calms them down because they just lost 5 in a row. They actually just lost 9 of 10.
Oh, their season's been over since April, if you've been listening to them.
Yeah, and the Pirates swept them. Meanwhile, they're 38-28, and you ask any Philly fan, and it's like the worst. It's like the worst period of his life. So I kind of wish the Cubs would have got the win tonight. I'm mad too. At Phillies fans for being so stupid. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.